Well, I'll tell you, there's night and day from being baptized in the Holy Spirit and not being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you right now. Because when you listen to the kids in this church and they communicate, it is on another level than other people outside of the organization. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't other, but there is just an anointing when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you present the word. And it's the Holy Ghost, and Chloe did an amazing job. I'm so proud of her. And we have some great kids in here. It's just, we got kids that are just hungry for God. And think of it as just, they're genuine. You know, I remember being years ago in youth group, and you're like, you know, some kids are just, you know, some of them just were there just to hang out. They're just a club, or, you know, it wasn't, there was some of them just weren't, they weren't serious about God and things like that too. But I think our kids are really, they're just, it's a very unique group. And we haven't always had that here. But there's something special with our youth, and, you know, Chloe's kind of such time as this, you know, taking this over, and, you know, and it's good, you know, to be pushed out of your comfort zone and to do things. So we kind of like to leave out details, you know, on purpose. So, you know what, God, we can do anything with God. Amen. And he loves us, and he wants good things for us. So I am so proud of our kids. They are just examples. They're leaders. You know, and it's just, it's the wisdom of God that is shining through. And I wished I had that wisdom when I was their age. You know, I didn't have that. I didn't have any of that. And we just didn't have the teaching. Didn't have understanding about anything. When I was in, you know, it was like getting saved or knowing about the rapture. You know, like end times. That was it. You kind of got spoke, you know, those who spoke in tongues, it just kind of happened for them and don't really know why or how you got there. And so it is very powerful just to, you know, be around kids that they got a hunger for God. They want to read their Bible. They want to do something for God. And again, whatever that is God calls people to do, whether it's, you know, going to the ministry full time or whatever it is, wherever you're at, be the light. Be the light. We don't necessarily have to go overseas and do some mission stuff. There's plenty to do here. Amen. We are continuing on. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to share on that note. I didn't want to say that when Avery's sitting here to embarrass her, but it's because what you're saying about the kids.
Yeah.
What you're doing is like, you know, these older kids, but it's also spreading to these younger kids.
Yes. Yes.
And Avery also goes to church on Sunday mornings with her family, but she's just so excited about coming here. And she wrote you guys that note. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really sweet. And she just gave, you know, some money in the offering.
Yeah.
All of her own accord. She just wants to be here. She's so excited.
Yeah.
I think that's a testament.
She's very excited to pray in tongues.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's encouraging because, you know, when you see in every age group, they look to the age group right above them. Like high school, they're looking to college, junior high is looking to high school. And so when you're looking at that age above or even a two steps ahead of you, and you hear that this is livable, that changes you. Where, you know, when you're young and then you see those age groups ahead of you that are hungry for God, want to do things, and God is using, that is encouraging for that age group below. Yeah. So again, you know, always that age group is always looking to the next age group. And so it is powerful. And amen. So we're going to continue. Looks at Hebrews chapter 4 tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. And we are continuing with living distraction free. Amen. And you know, we talked about the four soil types last week. There in Mark, you know, the four different soil types, and really the distraction was taking the seed, right? It's the soil type, and it's really distractions, right? The you know, the cares of this life, and you know, one group, they received the word joyfully, and then they didn't have root, right? So they weren't taking hold of it. It was kind of this, yay, this is really fun. You know, this is Word. It's a really exciting. And then they just kind of fade away. Others, they're, you know, with the cares of life. You know, I've got this going on. I've got that going on. The good life. You don't need God because all my needs are met. And then, so these are all distractions. But we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it's talking about here, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. Now, this is very important because the soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? The spirit is what we're, that's where we connect with the Lord from, right? Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? We're, behold, we're a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new, right? That is the point of contact we come in with God. So what it does is the Holy Spirit, well, let's just read on here. And it says, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. And He is the one in whom we are accountable. You know, it's interesting because some people will, they will read things like, you know, well, I don't agree with that. And they quote other articles and they quote other people and they do this and do this. You know what? Life would be summarized really good is just read your Bible. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's a novel idea. I've talked to some people lately and they're like, well, I don't agree with this person says this and the person says this. Well, you know what? The person I want to listen to is the Apostle Paul. Right? I want to listen to Jesus' words. I want to listen to what He has to say. And again, the Word is powerful, and it's going to expose things in our lives. And again, this is why people had problems during the Dark Ages, is because the church hid the Word from people. You know, do you realize the persecution that Tyndall and some of these other people had from printing the Bible? Can you imagine that? I mean, they were on the run. And the church, guess who's out there? The church did not want the Word to be spread. Because why? There's freedom in it. And when you read the Word, you begin to have what? You don't rely on other people. Now, there are things, you know, we do rely on other people for, but the point is, you become, hey, I can receive God for myself. I don't have to go to you. I don't have to go through you to get to God, right? I don't have to give you penance to be able to get to heaven. I don't have to do these things. I can receive. That's why it was such like the Reformation with Martin Luther, he nailed the thesis to that door. That was the first rebellion against that. It says, you know what, Ephesians 2:8, you know what, we can be free, amen. We can be born again. We don't have to live this way. We can read, and the other people began to print the Word, and the Word is very powerful, and the enemy does not want you to read the Word. Doesn't want to give a revelation of it. And so when we begin to study the Word, there's something powerful against that. And when we're focused on the Word, we begin to see things in a new light as well. We begin to see things as He does. And then we're not always hung up with TV, right? And what the education system's pushing. And this is why we're in a lot of the problems, because we're not focused on the Word anymore. It's not a priority to many people, but it will deliver us and it sets us free, and it is powerful, we just read. Matthew chapter 8. Very exciting stuff coming up here. Because it's the Word, it's not me. Amen? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And I get a little nervous around people, especially Christians and other people who don't want to talk about the Word, but they want to talk about things outside of the Word, right? And they're, you know, they want to argue about Christianity, but they're not using the Word to back things up, right? And the good thing is, you know, like I told our girls, you are under no obligation to believe anything that comes out of anybody's mouth about Christianity if there's no scripture backing it up. Because what happens is it becomes philosophy. Theory without the word is philosophy, right? I don't want to go back to those days. I didn't like those philosophy classes I had to take. It was like, you got all these people who are confused, didn't know what they were talking about. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him, and he knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Now here's very important. He's like, and Jesus reached out and said, well, it's not my will. How many people say it's not God's will to heal? And guess what? We just read the Bible. What do you say? I am willing. Yay! He said, what do you say? After that, he goes, well, let me just keep the sickness and disease on you to teach you a lesson right here. Well, no, what do you say? He's like, I'm willing. And then what? Be healed. And instantly, their leprosy disappeared. And then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine. Now, I love that, right? I love it. I love Jesus's psychology here, right? You know, you ever have those people do like, well, don't say anything. Yeah, we know people, you know, it's like, you know, over the years or something, tell them, like, don't say anything. And then it's like, sure enough, boop. Everybody knows what he's just like, don't tell anybody. Then there was a result. Take along the offering that is required under the law of Moses for those things who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have cleansed. Well, then we see here he goes what? Goes crazy later. But verse 5, this is about the word as well, isn't it? So we know, and this is only one time where Jesus healed people and the leper asked Jesus if it's his will, and Jesus says, of course it's my will to heal, right? I love how many people want to fight and argue and attack healing, deliverance, people being delivered from demons. Well, it doesn't exist today. That doesn't exist today. That is Jesus' entire walk on the earth, was healing people, setting people free. That is what he lived and gave his life for, was to set people free physically, emotionally, and spiritually. One of Brother Hagin's book is Redeemed from, you know, Redeemed from Poverty, Sickness, and Spiritual Death. I mean, it's a great book. You got to read it if you haven't. Then here we go. Verse 5. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him and says, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now here we are, we're only seven verses in. How many times did Jesus say, I'm willing to heal you, I'm going to heal you, be healed, right? But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word. From where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers and have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go. Come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do this. I want to stop here for a moment. He understood that Jesus had some kind of authority in the spirit realm. And when he spoke, things happened, right? Because we see earlier in the scriptures that Jesus would go and entire multitudes were healed. And this Roman officer came to Jesus, and you guaranteed people came like him, and the 19 accounts in the Gospels of people being healed, that what do we see here? You know they heard about Jesus, right? And they came because they heard of what happened. This man is aware of authority, and Jesus has authority in the spirit realm. So we're seeing here that he's like, just speak the word. Just release the word. Just speak the word, right? And we're just talking about Chloe and giving that and the anointing. When we speak the word, we are penetrating people. Right? I mean, Jesus speaks to the storm and it instantly stops, right? And there's power. And that's because of, you know, when we speak the word, people, this is where people can get confused. They say, well, you know, that name and claim it, blab it and grab it, and you just think that you've got all this power and everything. That Greek word is authority. It's not our power, but we've been delegated authority, right? And so when we speak the word of God, it is God's power working through us. I don't have any authority. I don't have any power at all, right? And this is where people get so confused. They're like, well, you're just so prideful and everything else too. No, I'm attacking the enemy with the word of God. I am not, it's not something that I have or something. I am special. I am not special. We are not special. It's, we have breath in our lungs because of the Lord. That's it. We give him glory on everything. But we see here, verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those who'd followed him, and he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those from whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown in outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, and then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back, here we go, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed the same hour. I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to look at two verses here. Jesus changes things here in this scripture. I want you to look at it. Verse 7, Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Right? So what's that tell me? That Jesus is doing, he's like, you know what? I'm doing a proactive thing here. I'm going to do it. Right? But look what happens to Jesus' language here in verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 13. He says, go back because of you believed. It has happened. Isn't that interesting how Jesus goes from I'm gonna heal you to wait a minute, you're gonna receive the healing because of your belief. What's that say? Jesus is like, I'm gonna come and take care of it on my faith. But now he said, no, let's do it because of your faith. So that tells me, number one, God's in motion. Jesus is in motion to heal the servant, right? And then what happens? This Roman officer says, wait a minute, just speak the word. And Jesus goes, wow, no. We're going to do it this way. You're going to receive the healing because of your faith and because you spoke the word, right? And this guy, I guarantee you, is spiritually dead. He's not born again. He's probably heathen, right? But do you see how this, within this whole 13 verses, you read just this 13 verses, you should be able to pull out, number one, that it's God's will to heal. We just read up there at the beginning with the leper, right? And God said, Jesus said, you know what? It is my will. I'm going to heal you. See, Jesus is out healing people. But he shifts gears with the Roman officer. He's ready to heal people. He's ready to do it. He's ready to go however many miles and heal this person. And the Roman officer shortcuts Jesus and says, now, let's just cut this out. Let's just make it simple. You just speak the word and it's going to be done. And Jesus says, well, I was going to come and heal your servant. I was going to do it on my faith, but we'll just let you do it on your faith. See, when we just read the word of God, these things are going to come out to us. We're going to see Jesus' will in this chapter. We're going to see his willingness to do it. He initiates healing. God himself is out healing people himself. And then we see where he is willing to go heal somebody, and somebody says, no, I'm just going to believe for it. He goes, great. Well, let's do it that way then. Am I boring you so far?
No.
If we would read the Bible instead of going off what people say or their opinions, it would give us a clear picture, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right? We see Jesus throughout the Word maneuvering and working with people where they're at. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus is working with people with where they're at, right? Well, I just know if God's going to do something to you. Just let God work with what you got, right? John 14, 9. We haven't even got to the good stuff yet, all right? Because the more you read the Word, it always gets better, right? I mean, it's just, a little dab just doesn't do. We got to eat more, right? That's when we can be greedy. We can, you know, it's okay. More Word, more of God, more of these things, right? We die. John 14, 9 says, Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works that you've seen me do." Verse 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even what greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." Now it's interesting if Jesus said, "You know what? You're going to do great works and even greater works." If God wanted things this to stop after the apostles, why did he command them and say, "No, you're going to continue to do this and you're going to do greater works and it's going to continue"? I don't believe that Jesus wanted the works to stop after the apostles were gone, right? So he gave his life, he did everything, and then we're going to have just, you know, this short span of years. No, it's a continuation into today. Verse 12 again, "And I tell you the truth, that anyone who believes me and does the same works I've done, and even greater works, because I am going to the Father. You ask for anything in my name and I will do it." That sounds like it's his will, right? See, we can get so distracted, and again, it goes back to the living a life free of distraction. We can look at everybody else and we can see, well, this person received this and this person received that. But he says, "Yes, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it." I want to pause here for a moment because it's very powerful. Because, you know, sometimes, and I notice that cults, and I notice when I've talked to cults and I've studied cults you know, a lot of weird religious stuff, there's always a focus on the Old Testament. And I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament is great. But New Testament believers, we view God through Jesus. It's very important. Because if we're not viewing God through the lens of Jesus, we're going to get off. I'm just going to say that right now, right? I've had so many cults come and I've talked and debated and everything else too. And, you know, they'll pull some weird thing. You know, you always like, even like Muslims, they take the old covenant and they twist it around. And then they take, you get all these cults like the Mormons and all of that perversion. And then too, and then they always like to take the Old Testament. They like to pervert it and they do these things. But when you look at God through the lens of Jesus, you're going to have a good understanding of who God is. And this is perfect scripture right here to prove that. Jesus is like, "Hey, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and the continued ministry is through the Holy Spirit." And we know that Jesus is what? Full of love and compassion, right? And we just, sometimes people get just off on the Old Testament, or they focus on things, or you know, the Old Testament is wonderful. I love the Old Testament. I love reading the Old Testament. But, you know, we can look at it, well, it's kind of rough, or this happened, or that happened, or this happened. It's like, wait a minute here. When we come back to the reality of who Jesus is, it all makes sense. The Old Testament begins to have new revelation to us when we look through the eyes of Jesus. When we see the Bible through the eyes of Jesus, then everything begins to fall into place, right? Because, you know, people are like, well, I don't know why, you know, they'd go in and kill all these people in the Old Testament and do everything. Well, because they were, a lot of those people didn't have human DNA, right? You know, these people were, had DNA from fallen angels. They had all this other perversion and stuff. And they were, you know, in the days of Noah. The reason why God did these things was because he had to preserve mankind. He had to preserve us so that when Jesus came, there was going to be a vessel that, that his son could come through to redeem the world. And so when we get off and like, well, nitpicking all that, that's why all these people who are atheists, they want to go in the Old Testament. They want to nitpick this and want to nitpick this. Well, when you view it all through the lens of Jesus and you see the whole picture, it all makes sense. And so, verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father and give you another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is always going to, it's, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus, they're all going to say the same thing, right? So what you've got here, you've got Jesus who said, I don't do or say anything unless the Father tells me to. And then he says, I'm going to send an advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit will say what Jesus wants to say, and which Jesus says what the Father wants to say. It's all linear. It's all the same. They're all three in one. And you ever notice how, like, a lot of people, I don't know why Christians start talking about the Holy Ghost and they get weirded out, you know? It's like he's part of the Godhead, right? He's part of the Trinity, you know? And then you start talking about the Holy Ghost, they're like, oh, you're one of those charismatic people. Well, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit all through John, you know, all through the Gospels. He referred to the Holy Spirit as a person, you know? Well, I don't believe in that tongue stuff. I don't believe in that, you know, I don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and everything. Like I always say, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians, they follow the Holy Spirit no matter where he goes, right? It's not like God checks his guns at the door. Oh, I'm sticking my gun. Well, I'm going to come over here, but my love and my compassion and all this other stuff is going to stay over here. But wherever I go, no, wherever God's at, there's love. Wherever the Holy Spirit's at, there's freedom. Wherever the Holy Spirit's at, there's the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, which is love, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, faith, or faithfulness, other translations say. All of those things follow the Holy Spirit no matter where he goes. Guess what else follows him? Words of knowledge, gifts of faith, healings. All of those things follow the Holy Spirit. He does not separate himself from those things. And then you got these ignorant people to go along and say, well, I don't believe in that stuff anymore, and I don't believe in this stuff anymore. Well, it's like, you know what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, right? And the ridiculous thing is, he healed people in the Old Testament, and now we're in a better covenant, and he won't do it today? Are you kidding me, right? I thought better meant like, you know, more things, and it was added on top of the good things. You know, he's not taking things away. So again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the same. That was like Brother Hagin said, it was so good. He was talking about, you don't buy a pair of shoes and say, can you take the tongues out? No, they're part of the shoes, right? Yeah. Yeah, but can you imagine if I walked into like one of the shoe stores here, or you know, ordered shoes on Amazon and then said, oh, in the description, say, please remove the tongues. Can you cut the tongues out, please? It's part of the deal, right? I mean, these are characteristics of the Holy Spirit. So again, we simplify things in our life is to make, again, one decision, one universal decision. I was like, years ago, I kind of, you know, it's like I made one decision to go to church. Right, Adrian and I, we got married, we decided we're going to go. I don't have to wake up every day and go, oh, do I go to church? You know, your life is simplified when you begin to come to the realization and settle on truths. You don't have to second guess everything, right? I don't have to go back and go, well, do I believe this? Do I not believe this? Is this real? Is it not real? I don't have to debate those things, right? Jesus is real. I've settled these things years ago. I don't have to go revisit these things. We're always continuing to learn and develop and grow, but that's built on things, not coming back and digging them up and questioning those things. I was just talking, a friend of mine, Adrian and I were out with some friends I went to high school with, and they were, his wife is, were friends of ours in a church years ago. But, you know, we got into just different things, just talking about, you know, healing and salvation and things like that. And we started getting off on these topics about, you know, healing. And he was kind of discouraged because he witnessed to this person. And, you know, it goes back to the Word of God, sharpening a two-edged sword. And again, the Word of God will not return void. And so we were talking, and you could tell there was this guy on his deathbed that he had worked with, and I went in there, witnessed to him, read him Romans 10, 9, and 10. I was doing all these things, then I was really upset, and that, you know, I said these things to him, and I just don't know if I got born again. I said, hey, the Word does not return void, right? It's going to accomplish what it says to do. And I said, you've done your part. We don't make people get born again. We don't do these things. It's got to be something on their heart. And I remember I had a family member of mine that was dying, California, called her, had a conversation with her, and I just thought, you know what, if I'm in the midst of people on their deathbed, we're going to have uncomfortable conversations, right? I love having uncomfortable conversations with people, right? It's like, you're taking your last breath, are you going to heaven or hell? We don't have time to play around. It's like, we got to get down to business with people. And so, you know, we were talking, and I said, are you going to heaven or hell? Well, I think I've been okay, kid, and blah, blah, blah. I said, compared to who? Jesus or Hitler? What are you talking about here? I've been good enough. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And so the thing of it is, too, when we believe these things, we say we put it out there, and we don't know what happens between now and when they pass away, right? And it is, again, the Word. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides what? The soul and the spirit. We just read Hebrews chapter 4. So what that means is the Word is going to come in there, and it's going to cut people. It's going to do things. And because you don't get a response, it doesn't mean God isn't doing something. I've learned that over the years, right? Just because somebody doesn't go, glory, you know, when you pray for them, and they just jump up and run around, or you know, I've laid hands on people in hospitals that are dying, and they walk 3 days later, and I didn't feel anything. Right? It doesn't have anything to do. Feelings have nothing to do with our faith. Absolutely nothing. Well, I feel discouraged. And this guy was kind of discouraged, and I said, hey, you presented the Word, and I quoted these scriptures we just read. We don't know what's happening. We don't know God. We can't see those things. But you better believe this. I believe this. I've never met an atheist on their deathbed yet. And I guarantee you, those words you spoke to him, and those people I've spoke to, you know, those words are coming back. Amen? They are coming back. And we live free from distractions. It's just our circumstances we don't care about. We do care about, of course, we're concerned about, but our situations don't mean anything. They're not, you know, whatever situation that we're in, we use the Word. We still believe God is working on our behalf, right? Even though we don't see things in the natural sometimes, it does not mean God is not at work. That's part of faith, knowing that my feelings may not be really, you know, maybe screaming right now. My bank account may be laughing at me right now, right? I've got people out there who are laughing at me right now. If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? How many people in the Bible were the minority, but they were right? Yeah. Right? I don't need a parade. You shouldn't have to have a parade. We don't need a parade of people behind us. It doesn't mean we're right or wrong. But look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. I mean, there was a minority of people, right? I believe if Abraham would have gone down to like, is there just one righteous? The Lord probably would have said, yeah, but he stopped too soon, right? I mean, look, Jesus is the only righteous person, and look what he accomplished. Now, of course, he's kind of in a league in his own, right? I mean, he's kind of, you know, it's a big deal, you know? I mean, his, you know, he's got supernatural DNA, and, you know, he's, you know, Jesus is a whole other category, but the point is, one person can still change things, right? I mean, David, King David, I mean, when he was just a boy, you know, he's out bringing his brother's food there, fighting against the Philistines, and Goliath shows up, and he's the only one that's got, you know, the guts to go deal with this thing. So again, you know, we're not counting on situations, but when we read the word, we speak, we believe, and we stand on it, things will change. Right? We heard testimonies tonight, and here's the thing too. You may not see in your life things, but I guarantee you, standing from this point of view, what I'm seeing a lot of you, I have seen massive growth in people in this church since even, like, you know, years ago, right? See, you don't see it. It's like lifting weights every day. You can tell I lift every day, right? You can tell, right? No. But it doesn't matter what you do. It's every day. There is something you're doing, right? And, you know, there's been times in my life, I'm sure all of us here, it's just hard to put one foot in front of the other, right? You know, you have like a financial setback or maybe relationship setback. They're just things that just like, it gets you down. It's like, but you get back up and you still say, you know what? God is still God. And he is, hear his voice there in Matthew. I am willing, right? You know? This guy's got leprosy, everything's falling, I mean, literally falling apart, right? I mean, literally falling apart. And Jesus is like, I am willing, right? Guy's got a death sentence, but he's willing. Everything's completely a disaster, but he's willing. So again, we complicate our life sometimes and become confused. But I just remember sometimes too, you know, that we're, and too many people, we'll close with this, I get 12 closings, so it's okay, right? You know, and one of my friends, we were just talking about different things, just talking about healing and things like that with people. And you know, just like we read there, Jesus, he said, I'll come and heal him. And then later, Jesus turned and he goes, well, we'll just do it according to your faith. You know what? Some people don't want to receive these things. But then they come back or they see people that they prayed, they've, you know, prayed for people and things didn't happen to them. And every time I talk to people, whether they're on their deathbed or I visit them, the first thing I say is, do you want to be healed or do you just want to go home and be with the Lord? Jesus didn't override people's will when he walked the earth, right? He could not get the Pharisees in line. They were still not going to listen to him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would not listen to him. You read several times in the Bible where it says the Sadducees and the Pharisees were there, and there's times in the scripture, and it says that the power of God was present to heal, but nobody received healing. God was willing for them to be healed, but they would not receive it.
Can I share one thing?
Yes.
So in this study Bible I have, this Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible, Jackie, for talking about when Jesus calmed the storm, that they were afraid to boat, this word, where it says, Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. This is really interesting. It says, little faith, and I can't even pronounce the Greek word, Strong's Concordance, okay, means small faith, describing a faith that lacks confidence or trust too little. Jesus used the word in various situations as a tender rebuke or corrective chiding. He gives a bunch of scriptures. Then he says, listen to this. Another way to term it is underdeveloped faith as opposed to outright unbelief or distrust.
Yeah.
Underdeveloped
faith. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I think, too, is our faith, we're always thinking about the way we've got it figured out, the way God's going to do it, right? I'm going to toss some money in the bucket and I'm going to have a tidal wave of money come back my way. That's a lot of the church. I'm sorry. Decades, you know, especially watching people on TV. I'm going to sow this money and God's going to bless me and everything's going to be wonderful and I'm going to be driving a Rolls Royce next week. It's just going to be awesome. Well, guess what? How'd that turn out with a lot of people? No. Now, there is a sowing and reaping, isn't there, right? But it doesn't mean that's the way that God is going to bless. I remember I worked at Vermeer Manufacturing, and there was Gary Vermeer. He started the company and everything too. And you know what? How God prospered him? He had an engineering mind. I mean, he invented the big round baler. I mean, all these things. He had invented all of these things, right? And see, if you can sit back and go, oh, I'm just going to throw some money here. I mean, you need to tithe. You need to give. It's word. But if you're expecting, see, we're expecting God to do things the way that we've either been religiously brainwashed or we tried to get it figured out, right? And so we've got this guy, Gary Vermeer, brilliant man. Before he passed away, when I worked there, he'd come and he'd have me work on things for him. Just, you know, I worked in the ag division, and he'd come to bring things to me. And I'm like, this guy is like, you know, and I do things and, you know, with just different things that I would do, whether a program, it just, when I was working there, and he'd come and he'd say something like, yeah, I guess that could work. And I've been doing this for several years, and I'm like, there's an anointing on him. See, God gives us the power to prosper. He doesn't tell us how, because we all have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different motivations. God puts different things into us. So that's why it's important to be led by the Spirit. And for the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us, right? And when we sit back and we're, you know, that's why I think people get discouraged. People are like, well, this is how it's going to happen, or this person had it happen, or this person had it happen to them. And the Lord's leading me down a path like, hey, I mean, I'm leading you down a different path that nobody's ever gone down before, right? You know, one thing too is, and this is something too where, you know, I am not going to fight harder for you than you're going to fight, right? Remember growing up and stuff as a kid and things that my parents were like, you need to go, you know, you need to go stand up for yourself. You need to do this stuff. And nobody's going to stand up for you more than you, right? It's just not going to happen. And, you know, just over the years, a lot of people, and this is about distractions. You know, Adrian and I used to work for a place we would, you know, take prayer requests. And I remember being at Rhema, and I'd pray for people too and different things. I'd be in prayer school and healing school sometimes. But, but, you know, there's just people, they won't pick up for themselves and do what they need to do. Right? You know, we're relying on everybody else. Well, you know, God's just going to make it happen. No, he's not going to make everything happen for us. It's just not going to happen, right? He's not going to go punch the clock for you and do the work and everything else too. No, he's giving us tools and resources to make things happen. The interesting thing was, you know, when I was in manufacturing, you know, you take like, you know, like a big plate of steel, you know, and I, one of my jobs, order steel and things. You go from steel to a complete machine of like, you know, 75 yards away. Gives you resources, talents, abilities, things like that. But we're distracted with the noise. We're distracted with, well, what everybody else says, right? I got a lot of pastor friends, and I love them and everything else too. But I'll tell you what, we are like night and day. I'm just like, all of my pastor friends, I love them to pieces. But we are like in opposite universes, right? Because, you know, certain people, they're in their church. You know, their income is only from this or that. And I'm like, God, I'm thinking outside the box, right? I don't have to think like that. I don't have to be put in these things. Because where is God leading you to? Where is God moving you to, right? And I think it's very powerful to go, well, everybody else is doing this, and everybody else is doing this, and this is the way to go, and this is the way to go. What is he leading us to do? What is he leading you to do? Distractions is you're looking at everybody else. The Bible says it's not wise to compare, is it? Can't compare. You can't compare. No. I'm not going to make it anytime soon being a singer. That's for sure, right? Not going to happen. Knowing our talents, our abilities, our motivations, the things that God has put in us to be able to move forward. So just recap. I love this part. We'll end here. But Matthew chapter 8, again, it brings us through the pattern of the man, leper, questioned Jesus, "Are you willing?" And Jesus says, "Yes, I'm willing." And guess what? Yes, you're going to be healed. And then we see the Roman centurion come along and say, and Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." And the Roman centurion says, "No, just speak the word, it's going to happen." And Jesus says, "Okay, interesting. I guess I'm not going to come heal him based on my faith, but we're going to do it according to your faith." And Jesus was, people would come and he would heal them. The multitudes, he did it because of his compassion. This time he did it because, guess what? This guy is grabbing his revelation of this thing, and Jesus says, "Okay, I'll do it." So what's that tell us as we close here? Number one, God is willing. He's willing for us to be blessed, to prosper, to be healed for good things. He loves us. He's actually going to take steps to do often for us. Have you ever had those times before in your life where you just look back and you're like, "Man, I didn't even believe for that, but somebody help me." You know? See, that's God stepping out behind the scenes and going, "You know what? I'm going to do it for him anyway." Then there's the other aspect where, you know what? God's like, "You know what? You're believing for it, so I'll do it for you anyway. It'll be done to you according to your faith." And so all of this, you know, theology of, well, I don't know, you know, you always got to be doing this, you always got to do this. You know what? God just does things for us because he loves us. That's it. There's scripture for it. And other times, he does it on our faith. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, Barb, who's had the cancer, she's had like 4 cancers, and she decided that when you die, you're just going to die. Nothing's going to happen. So I've kind of been talking to her. So I called her one day and she goes, "You know," she said, "last night I had the worst toothache I've ever had in my life." She said, "When I went to bed, I didn't intend to pray. I just said, 'God, please take this toothache.' She said, it went away."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "It completely went away." And you know, I think that just goes to show us that sometimes, and I told her, I said, "I think God does a lot of little miracles when maybe she's expecting something huge. But that little miracle meant a lot."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it meant a lot. And it was kind of a proof to her that God is
able. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord. God, I just thank you so much, Jesus, for your willingness to help us, your mercy, Lord Jesus, and that we're not distracted with everything else around us. But Lord, tonight I pray that every person here is going to have the revelation of how much you love them, how much you're willing to help, Lord God, whether it's on a special gift of faith or, Lord, it's according to our faith that you're working on our behalf, Lord. And you do love us. You're very interested in our progress. You're interested in our lives, Lord Jesus. And we praise you and thank you just for your love and sending Jesus, and we glorify you in your name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great week, everybody.